In a world where women are expected to marry well and bear sons, one young woman dares to defy convention. The Night Ends with Fire by KX Song reimagines the legend of Mulan with a revolutionary twist. Instead of being motivated by filial piety, our protagonist Mulan is driven by selfish desire for freedom and power. This critically acclaimed fantasy debut has captivated readers with its exploration of ambition, identity, and the cost of breaking societal boundaries. The novel has been praised by publications like the New York Times for its nuanced examination of gender roles in a richly imagined world inspired by ancient China. Song, whose diaspora background bridges Hong Kong and Shanghai cultures, brings authenticity to this tale that asks, what happens when a woman refuses to accept the limitations placed upon her? Mulan's story begins in crisis, set against the backdrop of a society where women's lives are currency in male-dominated transactions. Her father, once a respected merchant, now hollowed out by opium addiction, has accumulated devastating debts that threaten to destroy their family's legacy. His solution, to marry his daughter off to Master Zhu, a wealthy merchant known for his business acumen, promises a substantial dowry that might salvage their household's desperate situation. The new moon deadline looms like an executioner's blade, marking the end of Mulan's freedom. The true horror of her situation crystallizes when Mulan witnesses Master Zhu's brutality firsthand. Hidden behind a screen in his courtyard, she watches him savagely beat a young servant girl for a minor transgression, his controlled public persona giving way to reveal a monster. The scene haunts her nights, the girl's muffled cries, the systematic nature of the violence, the casual way he straightened his robes afterward. This glimpse into her future drives Mulan to contemplate the unthinkable. Death by her own hand begins to seem preferable to a lifetime of such abuse. I was smiling at the papers, the way one smiles at the gallows, Mulan reflects as she receives her marriage contract, the elegant calligraphy spelling out her imprisonment in precise strokes. This moment captures the quiet desperation of countless women trapped by societal expectations, forced to maintain appearances while drowning in despair. Her stepmother Xu Yang, though privately sympathetic, reinforces the bitter truth that has governed women's lives for generations. Personal happiness must be sacrificed for family duty. We bend so our families can stand tall, she tells Mulan, her own eyes reflecting past sacrifices. A chance encounter with Prince Liu Skye, the warlord's enigmatic seventh son, reveals another path. During a festival demonstration, Mulan's instinctive reaction to a runaway horse displays martial arts skills that catch the prince's attention. This moment becomes a catalyst, showing her that her body, trained in secret since childhood, could be her salvation. Unlike the traditional Mulan narrative, where filial piety drives the heroine's sacrifice, Mulan's motivation springs from fierce self-preservation and ambition. I don't want to just survive, I want to be the best. This radical departure from the classic tale immediately signals the story's subversive nature. Mulan's plan to disguise herself as a man and join the army isn't a temporary solution, it's a bid for permanent transformation. Her stepmother Xu Ying becomes an unexpected ally, providing men's clothes and coaching her in masculine mannerisms. The plan takes shape. She will pose as her father's illegitimate son, using the shame surrounding bastard children to explain her sudden appearance. Their farewell is heavy with unspoken fears and love, as Xu Ying offers one final piece of wisdom. Trust no one completely, not even those who seem to be friends. These words will echo throughout Mulan's journey, proving devastatingly prophetic in the dangerous world of military politics and power she's about to enter. Mulan's integration into army life reveals the complex layers of her deception. As Ren, she must constantly guard against discovery while proving herself worthy in a hyper-masculine environment. The physical demands of training are matched by the psychological strain of maintaining her false identity. When Lieutenant Fang's armlet goes missing and everyone is ordered to strip for inspection, Malin makes a split-second decision to falsely confess to the theft rather than have her disguise revealed. This sacrifice earns her a severe flogging but preserves her secret. The incident illustrates how Malin must constantly choose between physical pain and exposure, a choice most of her male counterparts never face. Her willingness to endure punishment demonstrates both her desperation and determination. Despite my injuries, I'm determined to prove myself and become one of the elite squad leaders, she resolves after the flogging. This ambition separates her from traditional depictions of women warriors who serve reluctantly and temporarily. Malin wants not just to survive, but to excel and gain power, desires traditionally denied to women. Her friendship with the talkative Sparrow provides both cover and companionship. His chatter masks her reticence, while his loyalty after she takes punishment for him creates a genuine bond. Yet even this friendship is built on deception, as Sparrow doesn't know her true identity. Prince Liu Sky becomes both mentor and potential threat when he discovers Malin practicing alone at night. Rather than exposing her, he begins training her secretly, impressed by her remarkable chi control and determination. Their relationship grows increasingly complex as romantic feelings develop alongside their teacher-student dynamic, creating another layer of tension in Malin's carefully constructed facade. The psychological toll of living a double life emerges in Malin's reflection. Despite having friends now, I knew I must continue to hide who I truly was to protect my hard-won sense of belonging. This poignant observation captures the paradox of her situation. She has found acceptance, but only by concealing her authentic self. Malin's struggle takes on supernatural dimensions when she discovers she possesses forbidden spirit power connected to a jade pendant left by her mother. The pendant links her to Qing Long, an enormous sea dragon who feeds on greed and ambition. Through dreams and visions, Malin enters the spirit realm where Qing Long reveals she has the rare ability to command water, a power that marks her as a spirit medium. This revelation forces Malin to confront whether her mother, whom everyone believed mad, actually possessed genuine supernatural abilities. The parallel between them is unmistakable. Both women possess powers that society deems dangerous and unnatural, especially in female hands. When Malin's emotions surge during combat training, her untrained powers manifest violently. Water buckets explode, injuring her opponent. Horrified by her lack of control, she flees, only to later encounter a drunken soldier named Red. When she confronts him about his irresponsibility before battle, her anger triggers another uncontrolled surge of power. Water from a puddle encircled his throat as the dragon urged me to compel him. This incident reveals the corrupting nature of spirit power. It feeds on and amplifies negative emotions like anger and greed. The dragon's voice encourages her to dominate others, pushing her toward becoming the very type of tyrant she despises. After forcing Red to forget and leave, Malin vomits upon seeing her veins turned black, physical evidence of how the power is changing her. I feared imprisonment, torture, or even death if discovered, she reflects, understanding that possessing black magic is strictly forbidden in the Three Kingdoms. This supernatural element adds another layer to Malin's deception. Not only must she hide her gender, but also these forbidden abilities that would mark her for execution regardless of her sex. The relationship between Malin and Qing Long becomes increasingly complex as the dragon offers power while attempting to influence her decisions. This internal struggle mirrors her external battles, raising profound questions about the nature of power itself. Is any power worth the corruption it brings? Can Malin use these abilities without becoming a monster herself? Against the backdrop of Malin's personal struggles, a larger conflict unfolds between the Three Kingdoms. What initially appears to be a straightforward war reveals itself as a complex web of political machinations, supernatural forces, and ancient prophecies. The conflict centers around Chancellor Sima of Siming, who possesses a jade seal connected to Zhuuk, the vermilion bird spirit that feeds on vengeance. Sima's unnatural powers manifest as inexplicable wildfires that burn even through rainfall, devastating villages and armies alike. When Malin witnesses the aftermath of these attacks, burned villages, ravaged farmlands, and terrified survivors, the human cost of the supernatural conflict becomes painfully clear. Through conversations with Sky, Malin learns about the rivalry between brothers for the throne and the complex politics driving the war. When they discover that Ziming forces are targeting the capital of Chuangning by sea rather than engaging in direct battle, Malin proposes a daring plan. Send most forces to defend the capital while a smaller group targets Chancellor Sima, who she believes is heading to Mount Fuxi seeking another jade seal. The political landscape grows more complicated with the introduction of Prince Lei of Ziming, who captures Malin after she retrieves a jade piece from the sea. Initially appearing as a cruel enemy, Lei gradually reveals more complex motivations. He opposes his father's war declaration and secretly works to destroy the Phoenix Seal that grants Sima his destructive power. "I don't believe power should be concentrated in the hands of a few," Lei admits during a private conversation with Malin, revealing political ideals that contradict his apparent role as enemy prince. His traumatic past, watching his mother's execution ordered by his own father, adds depth to his character and complicates Malin's perception of the conflict. The war storyline culminates in a confrontation at Mount Fuxi, where Malin faces Chancellor Sima in supernatural combat. Their battle transcends physical conflict, becoming a struggle between different philosophies of power. Sima represents power through domination and vengeance, while Malin increasingly questions whether any power is worth its corrupting influence. Malin's journey is shaped by her complex relationships with those around her. Her connection with Prince Liu Sky evolves from mentor-student to potential lovers. Sky's acceptance of her true gender and spirit abilities offers rare understanding in a world that would condemn her for both. When he confesses his feelings and mentions marriage after the war, Malin feels both touched and conflicted, unable to imagine a conventional future. "I would give anything to bring you back to Chuangning, to keep you safe," Sky tells her. "I'm only fighting with half a mind because the other half is looking for you, making sure you're okay." His protectiveness, while genuine, reflects societal assumptions about women needing male protection, assumptions Malin has fought against her entire life. Her relationship with Prince Lei of Ximing proves even more complicated. Despite being enemies, they develop an undeniable attraction during her captivity. Lei's complexity fascinates Malin. He's both cruel and vulnerable, capable of poisoning an innocent lighthouse keeper, yet haunted by witnessing his mother's execution as a child. Their dynamic reaches a crescendo when Lei summons Malin to his chambers and orders her to undress, revealing he knows her true identity. Though he allows her to dress again without harm, the power imbalance remains stark. Later, when Lei kisses her, Malin feels herself melting, questioning how I can enjoy his touch when so much is at stake. This internal conflict highlights the messy reality of attraction that defies neat categorization into love or hate. Betrayal emerges as a recurring theme throughout Malin's journey. When she returns to the Anlai army after escaping Lei's captivity, her comrades Tao and Sparrow react with fear and suspicion upon learning of her spirit abilities. This rejection wounds her deeply after all they've survived together. The most devastating betrayal comes at the novel's conclusion. After Malin helps defeat Chancellor Sima and end the war, she's summoned by the warlord who initially praises her valor. However, Tao and Sparrow reveal her true gender, forcing the warlord to offer an impossible choice: live confined as a proper woman or face imprisonment. Choosing prison over surrendering her freedom, Malin realizes, "Everyone saw this coming except me." This bitter ending subverts the traditional Mulan narrative where the female warrior returns to conventional womanhood after her service. Instead, Mei Lin faces punishment precisely because she refuses to relinquish the power and freedom she's tasted. As she reflects in her cell, "I understand why I'm considered dangerous. A woman who can kill, think independently, and take power threatens their entire social order." The supernatural elements in The Night Ends with Fire aren't merely decorative. They form an integral part of the world's metaphysics and directly shape the political conflict. The spirit realm exists parallel to the human world, accessible to those with special abilities like Mei Lin. This realm is home to ancient beings like Qinglong, the sea dragon, and Zhuike, the vermilion bird, who seek influence in the human world through spirit mediums. Each spirit embodies specific traits. Qinglong feeds on greed and ambition, while Zhuike thrives on vengeance. These characteristics influence their human hosts, gradually corrupting them. Chancellor Sima's obsession with revenge grows more consuming the longer he wields Zhuike's power, while Mei Lin struggles against Qinglong's influence, pushing her toward domination and control. The jade seals serve as physical connections between spirits and humans. Mei Lin's mother's pendant contains Qinglong's seal, while Sima possesses pieces of Zhuike's seal. When Mei Lin learns that a seal can only be unmade by its wielder and that destroying a seal kills its host, the stakes of the supernatural conflict become clear. Sima would have to sacrifice himself to destroy the phoenix seal. This metaphysical system creates moral complexity beyond simple good versus evil. The spirits aren't inherently malevolent, but represent natural forces that become destructive when wielded by humans. As Mei Lin discovers more about her powers, she begins questioning Qinglong's motives. Has he been manipulating me all along? The spirit world also connects to cultural practices and beliefs within the Three Kingdoms. In An Lai, spirit mediums are considered practitioners of black magic, deserving execution, while Shi Ming maintains state-funded collections of Liksha, spirit power texts. This cultural difference reflects contrasting philosophies toward power. An Lai fears and suppresses it, while Shi Ming seeks to harness it regardless of consequences. During her final confrontation with Sima, Mei Lin appeals not to nobility, but to the boy he once was before corruption. This approach recognizes the humanity beneath supernatural influence and suggests redemption remains possible even for those deeply corrupted by spirit power. When Sima ultimately chooses to destroy his seal and himself with it, he demonstrates that human will can triumph over spiritual corruption. At its philosophical core, The Night Ends with Fire explores the paradoxical relationship between power and freedom. Mei Lin begins her journey seeking liberation from societal constraints, yet each new form of power she acquires brings its own limitations and responsibilities. Her initial escape from arranged marriage through military service trades one form of constraint for another. Army life demands strict conformity. Days blur into weeks as training continues, with individuality condemned and differences purged. Though she's escaped marriage to Master Zhu, she must now submit to military discipline and hide her true self. The supernatural power Mei Lin discovers through her connection to Qinglong offers tremendous abilities but threatens her autonomy in new ways. The dragon's voice in her mind pushes her toward domination and control, making her question whether she's exchanged external constraints for internal corruption. During her captivity by Prince Lei, Mei Lin experiences yet another paradox of power. Though physically imprisoned in luxurious quarters with iron manacles dampening her spirit abilities, she discovers new forms of influence through manipulation and strategic thinking. Her captivity becomes a laboratory for developing different kinds of power: observation, deduction, and psychological insight. The novel repeatedly questions whether true freedom is possible in a world structured around hierarchies and obligations. When Mei Lin contemplates her mother's life, she wonders whether true freedom exists amid our duties to family, emperor, and society. This philosophical question finds no easy answer as Malin navigates competing loyalties and obligations. The story's conclusion offers a stark assessment of freedom's limits in a patriarchal society. Despite helping win the war, Malin faces imprisonment specifically because she refuses to return to conventional womanhood. The warlord's impossible choice, confinement as a proper woman or prison, reveals that society fears nothing more than a woman who claims power for herself. Yet even in her cell, Malin maintains her defiance, "I vow never to relent." This final resistance suggests that true freedom may exist not in external circumstances, but in refusing to surrender one's internal autonomy. Though physically constrained, Malin remains unbroken in spirit, perhaps the only freedom ultimately available to her. The novel opens with an epigraph from Dream of the Red Chamber. "All those whom history called great left only empty names for us to venerate." This philosophical statement sets the tone for a narrative concerned with whose stories survive and whose are erased from historical memory. Malin's journey represents countless women whose ambitions and achievements have been systematically excluded from official histories. The traditional Mulan legend ends with the warrior returning to conventional womanhood, effectively erasing her martial accomplishments from public record. By refusing this ending, Malin challenges the historical pattern of female erasure. The relationship between Malin and her mother forms another exploration of legacy and memory. Initially believing her mother mad, Malin gradually discovers that her supernatural abilities were real, forcing a reevaluation of a woman dismissed by society. This personal revelation parallels larger questions about whose perspectives are deemed credible in historical narratives. Prince Lei reveals that his mother was Ruan with second sight, who prophesied a golden-eyed girl would change his fate. This connection between maternal figures with supernatural abilities suggests an alternative lineage of female power existing beneath official histories, women whose gifts were labeled madness or witchcraft rather than recognized as legitimate forms of knowledge. The novel's conclusion, with Malin imprisoned despite her heroism, reflects the historical reality that women who refuse to conform often face erasure or vilification. Yet the very existence of her story, preserved in the novel we're reading, suggests resistance against this erasure. By centering a woman who refuses to accept society's limitations, The Night Ends with Fire reclaims space for female ambition in both historical imagination and contemporary consciousness. As KX Song notes in her author's note, traditional Chinese versions of the Mulan legend often end tragically, with the female warrior facing execution or suicide rather than acceptance. By acknowledging this darker tradition while creating a protagonist who remains defiant even in defeat, Song connects her narrative to a long history of female resistance against patriarchal constraints. The Night Ends with Fire ultimately asks a profound question: what does our ambition cost us? For Malin, the price is extraordinarily high: imprisonment, betrayal by comrades, and constant danger. Yet the novel refuses to suggest she should have chosen differently or accepted her predetermined role. Malin's journey transforms her relationship with her own ambition. Initially, she sees her desire for freedom and power as aberrant, something shameful that sets her apart from proper women. "I don't want to just survive. I want to be the best," she admits in a moment of private honesty, as if confessing a sin. As her story progresses, Malin gradually embraces her ambition as integral to her identity. When the warlord offers her the choice between conventional womanhood and imprisonment, she chooses the latter without hesitation, refusing to surrender the self she has fought to become. The novel's title, The Night Ends with Fire, suggests both destruction and illumination. Fire consumes, but also provides light and warmth. Similarly, Malin's ambition brings suffering, but also clarity and purpose. The metaphor of night ending implies a new dawn, perhaps suggesting that Malin's defiance, though personally costly, might help create a world where women's ambitions no longer require such sacrifices. In her prison cell, Malin understands precisely why society fears her. A woman who can kill, think independently, and take power threatens their entire social order. This realization doesn't diminish her resolve, but strengthens it. Her final vow, "I will never relent," suggests that ambition's true value lies not necessarily in achievement, but in the refusal to surrender one's authentic desires. Through Malin's journey, KX Song offers a nuanced exploration of female ambition in a world designed to suppress it, neither glorifying ambition uncritically nor condemning it as hubris. The novel presents it as both burden and blessing, a complicated human drive that can lead to corruption, but also to transformation and growth. In a world that still struggles with ambitious women, Malin's story resonates as both historical fantasy and contemporary commentary on the ongoing fight for women to define themselves beyond society's limitations.